Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.
I really wish we had watched this movie before our wedding day, and I heard that quoted like a dozen times.
I am shocked we didn't watch it before our wedding.
I'm shocked that I haven't seen this movie, and it took me like over 25 years since it's come out to see it.
You weren't alive when
it came out. Not that I would have been able to watch it when it came out, but as someone who's so into fantasy-esque things, and how many, goodness, there's so many quotes and like pop culture references in this movie, I am ashamed that it took me so long to see this.
I knew you would like it. It's right up your alley.
And I'm glad that I finally did. I'm excited to talk about this.
Okay, so The Princess Bride, 1987. Classic film. I have seen it maybe hundreds of times. We had, of course, a DVD, so I would watch it all the time. I was just in love with it.
Okay, so let me say that this movie was not at all what I expected it to be.
I know. Let me say, I think you thought this was going to be some cheesy, bad
like
rom-com.
Like 80s, like fantasy. What was that movie you kind of made me watch with Drew Barrymore and she's Cinderella?
Ever After?
Ever After.
Are you poo-pooing
I was
Ever
kind of
After?
Expecting this to be like Ever After. But this was way more of almost like fantasy satire, like over the top kind of goofy storybook telling.
Very goofy comedy. And it also, I love that this movie starts out with the grandpa reading the story to the
grandson. No idea that
this
movie was framed around like a grandfather telling that story.
It's
so, that surprised me.
So perfect, because even if you go into this movie with this, I'm not going to like this bad movie, you're on the side of the grandson, and you know, it kind of tricks you into being like, oh, I don't want to be this annoying little kid.
Yeah. And I think that the movie does start off a little like cheesy, like with the love story on the farm, and it quickly, you know, gets way more evolved than that.
They could have really made it annoying with those cuts to the grandson being like, I don't want to listen to this, but it works.
Yeah. And I think what made it work, and I almost thought at a point it was going to be like more almost Monty Python, like full on comedy humor, but it never goes that goofy. I think it still stays pretty grounded to the characters.
It really does.
Even that line, the have fun storming the castle. I thought that came from like, I have not seen any Monty Python. I thought it came from that, but I was surprised to see it come from this movie.
Actually, something much better.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this.
I'm so glad you did, but I knew you would.
And like 1987, like I feel like 80s fantasy, there's a lot of bad 80s fantasy movies, like Ironclad, Conan Barbarian, over the top fantasy.
It's funny you say Conan the Barbarian, because actually Arnold Schwarzenegger wanted to be in Princess Bride as the giant.
You can't have the Terminator as the friendly giant in this movie.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked.
Would
very
not
well,
have worked. I think Andre the Giant he's just so perfect in this.
He's so perfect.
I remember watching some documentary on Andre the Giant, and it's a little bit of a shame. I mean, he died young, obviously, but I feel like he could have had a very good character movie career if he was still around.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. He had a lot of health problems being so big.
Yeah, but like his voice and his cadence, it just works really perfectly.
He does seem very sweet. He had a lot of back problems. The scene where he's carrying people or fighting people, all of that was faked. He couldn't really carry or fight or do anything.
I wouldn't have doubted it if you didn't tell me that it was. I think they hide it very well.
They do.
And also, this, I don't know. I'm curious to see if there's a history behind this. This feels like a precursor to like Shrek a little bit.
Oh my god!
And maybe it's just because I've been in that frame of mind, but like this like satirical look at fairy tales. Obviously, Shrek's way more silly, but this almost feels like
Shrek for grown-ups.
Could have been an inspiration for it down the road.
I mean, honestly, yeah, kind of, right?
This must have been inspiration for a whole generation of people who like fantasy now. Like this is so referenced and inspired, and like the revenge story and the love story and the dread pirate Robert. Like there are so many things in this movie that,
I mean, you could ask someone on the street about rous and they probably know what you're talking about.
That was great. I had never even heard of that before this.
Really?
Yeah, that was a new one.
I knew you'd appreciate that.
All right, before we get too much into the movie, why don't we talk about your life reviving popcorn?
So, tell me, did you feel the taste was life-reviving to you?
You had let it sit for 15 minutes before eating it to make sure it reached full potency.
Inspired by two of the food things mentioned in this
movie. Maybe the only two food things in this movie, yeah, actually.
Yeah, they're a little bit busy. Nobody eats.
I did notice a random pineapple in like one of the fight scenes.
Really?
It's like in the foreground for some reason. It's like on a table. It's just random.
I never noticed that. It was some kind of royalty thing.
Yeah. High class pineapple.
Yeah.
But for this popcorn, you made a chocolate drizzle with peanut popcorn.
Anybody want a peanut?
Inspired by that really cute rhyming scene at the beginning of the movie.
Where Wallace Shawn's character, Vizzini, says, "Stop that rhyming. I mean it."
Does and anyone then, want a peanut?
Anybody want a peanut?
Ah, he is such... There are so many good characters in this movie. A lot of like, and very like energetic, good voices.
Mm-hmm. Everybody plays it so well.
Yeah.
Great casting.
And then the other inspiration comes from the other great character cameo in this,
Magic
the Billy
Max.
Crystal Magic Max.
I was so proud that you knew who Billy Crystal was. You identified him, even in that makeup.
I did. Very identifiable voice.
Yes.
Also, my wedding vows were inspired by Billy Crystal. So I had to watch that scene when Harry met Sally a bunch of times.
You had to listen to his
voice.
It's
really become ingrained.
Oh, and now he's a married man in this film. A magician? I don't know. Official title.
With which
Magic
wizard?
Max,
I don't
something?
Know. Miracle Max.
Miracle Max. And he, of course, chocolate coats the life-saving pill that saves the day.
Much like our chocolate-covered popcorn.
How could I not do it? Chocolate and peanuts.
It was perfect.
Anybody want a peanut?
This is one of the few times where you knew the movie well enough where you actually made the popcorn before we watched the movie. So we're eating it while watching.
I know, yeah.
You knew this one well enough.
Yeah, thankfully. So it enhanced the movie, didn't it?
It did, especially the peanut line. Mm-hmm. Can I also say that I'm surprised how... I feel like you could look up any line in this movie and it's going to be famous. When you're looking things up for like Princess Bride food or something, mm-hmm. and it's like a bunch of images of...
The quotes.
Art inspired by the peanut, like the peanut quote with like drawings with it. Mm-hmm. It's like such just one line in this movie, but
it's
people
goofy.
Love it.
People love it.
People love this movie.
Honestly.
I could see it. It's very rewatchable. I mean, I've only watched it once, but I want to rewatch it just because it's so digestible and
it's quick.
Easy
it's
watching.
It's good. I think I maybe watched it too much at one point. I was watching it a lot.
You
so
have now detoxed.
I haven't seen it in a couple of years. It was very nice to watch again. So, as mentioned, this movie starts off with a young Fred Savage and his grandfather, Peter Falk.
I didn't recognize either of them.
Do you know them?
I feel like that Peter Savage.
Fred Savage?
Fred Savage. That sounds familiar. Is he like in a band or something?
No, he's like a famous child actor. He was in the Wonder Years. And also, you may know him as the creator and voice of Oswald the Octopus.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's where I came from.
He's very, like, you'd know him. And his brother is Ben Savage, who's the Boy Meets World guy.
Okay, maybe that the last name was more familiar.
Yeah, they're very a big 90s family.
Okay.
And Peter Falk, famous actor, he's Columbo. I when reading the trivia for this movie, I found out his son is Bruno Kirby from When Harry Met Sally.
Oh,
he's
my
the
goodness.
Friend. Isn't that crazy?
That
they're
is
all
wild.
Buddies.
It's a small world.
And this movie was directed by Rob Reiner, who also directed When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
So you can feel the quality.
I think that was a big surprise to me, especially like two things. The directing was real good, and also the sets were super good. This movie really captures a feeling of like a fairy tale book or something. Mm-hmm. Like it almost feels like you never see characters going in between locations. It's almost like we're in a scene. This is the set.
Turn the
on.
Page.
Yeah, you turn the page. They're somewhere else. So very rarely do you see them like traveling between places. And I thought all the sets were just very fantastical and cool.
This is going to sound stupid, but I even thought that the woods seemed historic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think, and like when, you know, there's a lot of specifics. One I really like is where Wesley and Indigo. When they're fighting and there's like an acrobatics bar that's there just for them to like twirl around in.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like not a stage play, but
yeah, kind of.
It's very like purposely made. Like, you know, this isn't meant to look like real life. This is meant to be a fantasy book place.
That just so happened to be the perfect place for them.
You know,
to...
it doesn't worry about being realistic. It just is going to be cool. Really, in general, the whole story of this movie surprised me. Because in the beginning, you meet the kind of three thieves that kidnap Princess Buttercup. And I thought the whole movie revolved around that group with her.
I know. Because when she finally escapes, essentially, you're like, wait a minute, what's going to happen the rest of the movie?
Yeah, but that first part is so solid. Like, I almost would have been happy if the movie ended there.
That's why they leave you wanting more. That's how good it is.
I really like the shrieking eels. Scary they are. They're a real puppet, whatever animatronic puppet things.
Mm-hmm.
I really dig the Man in Black, you find out is the farm boy Wesley, his trials or whatever with the giant, who I like that he wrestled Andre the Giant, who was like a professional wrestler. That was cute.
Yeah.
And his whole poison thing, really just cool, clever fights.
I'm glad you liked them. Yeah, they're iconic.
Also surprised by how early you get the "My name is Inigo Montoya" line.
You kill my father, prepare to die.
Is that the most famous line from this movie, do you think?
I think this is the most famous because he says it so many times. You can't forget.
It's also I was surprised at how cool this movie is, too.
You liked the coolness of the...
I like the, you don't know that I am actually right-handed, and so am I.
That was very cool.
A lot of cool fight fencing choreography.
That part, I wonder if it's in the book. I'm very curious what parts transferred over from the book. Because the writer of the book, he wrote the screenplay. He was still around for it. Maybe one day I'll read it.
Yeah, I can't be that long. This grandfather read it in one afternoon to his,
that's
his grandson.
True. So he beats the three trials of people he needs to get through to get the princess Buttercup. And that's as they're talking when she realizes she's talking to Wesley.
Big surprise there.
Yeah. Throws him down the mountain and he says, as you wish.
And this was intentionally funny, right?
The falling down the mountain for a long
time?
With
the dubbed ow.
Ow.
Oof. Ow. And they're violently falling down this hill.
Yeah.
That was laugh out loud.
That was really funny.
And once they reunite, I was like, what the hell is going to happen in the rest of this movie? But of course we have the jerk prince that is hunting them down.
Prince Humperdinck.
Prince Humperdinck. I'm never going to get it right. Let's just move on.
Yes, they go into the fire swamp where they discover the three bad things that's going to kill them. The fire, which makes a popping noise.
Sounds like a haunted house air compressor thing.
Sure. They could have made this into a haunted house. Why isn't there a ride out there based on Princess Bride?
This is now on Disney Plus. Not so scary Halloween. I'm expecting fire swamp to be there.
That'd be great.
The second thing is the quicksand.
The lightning sand.
The lightning sand.
That's terrifying. That part is so scary.
The 80s and 90s had this obsession with quicksand. I feel like I never hear about quicksand.
That's
true. Everything as a kid, quicksand was this
Not
invisible
an
thing.
If, but when.
Where is the pit of sand going to be?
Yeah. I definitely thought I was going to encounter quicksand in my life at some point.
This movie may have been the inspiration for a generation of quicksand fear.
Maybe. Because this is worse than quicksand. You fall in.
It's a sinkhole almost.
It is. It's terrifying.
But the real crown jewel of the swamp are the
R-O-U-S.
The rouse. The rats.
Rodents of unusual size.
Rodents of unusual size. Genuinely scary design of them.
Very scary looking.
They almost move like humans on all fours.
Well, ironically, it is a human on all fours inside
okay,
the costume.
That makes sense.
Just amazing comedic timing with the, I don't think they exist, and then gets attacked.
Yeah, very, who threw that cat energy?
Yeah.
This kind of bugged me a little bit. It felt a little like her just standing on the side. Obviously it's a scary giant rat, but I don't
she
like
was beating it with a stick a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah, but she wasn't pulling her weight.
It felt like Buttercup was very much just there the whole
time. The princess to be rescued.
Yeah. Which is, whatever. It's an old fairy tale type thing.
Yeah.
But I guess we expect more from...
Yeah, we would have expected more, but maybe she's just acting in how she would have.
I mean, you see a 5-foot rat. Who knows how you would react?
That's true.
I'm not...
No judgment.
Trying to hold it against her. But they eventually do get out of the swamp, and that is where you get the second twist, I guess, where you find out the prince is actually just evil.
Very evil. Has plans to kill her no matter what happens. And him.
And him. And poor Wesley gets taken to the... the names in this movie, Pit of Misery,
the
Pit of Despair.
Pit of Despair.
Amazing names in this whole movie.
Yeah. And the albino man who works the Pit of Despair. Very scary. You notice that most people in this movie are British except for Billy Crystal's character and his wife.
Every non-main character is British.
Pretty much. It was filmed in England.
That makes sense. It takes place in Italy though, right? Didn't it, like Florence?
It's sort of, yeah, Italy, like all the names.
They also reference like real places. Because what is a what is the guy's name?
Vizzini?
Vizzini's like, never mess with a Sicilian, matters of life and death.
Exactly.
What a great character. Really perfect. Like, he dies so early, but so memorable.
I heard Danny DeVito was being considered for
that role. Oh my God. I could have lost Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I would have liked Danny DeVito.
Nah, I think Wallace Shawn's, his voice is just really great for this.
It is iconic. So anyway, once you get to Pit of Despair, you kind of get into like the second half of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's going to be a wedding and Andre the Giant. What is Andre the Giant's name in this?
Fezzik.
Fezzik. Ingio, come back.
Inigo Montoya, you killed my father. Prepare to die.
The Pit of Despair moment where his life is like completely sucked out of him. Also really horrific.
It is, right? It was pretty funny. You're like, what's happening? They're sucking him? I don't get it.
They look like little suction cups like on his nipples, on his ears. Like, what is this doing?
It's just sucking the life out of him.
Literally sucking the life out of him.
Just like Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, he's like, maybe I'll turn it to 5, but that might kill you. And then he gets to turn to 50.
Immediately.
And still
dies.
Comes back from it.
Another weird moment. And I meant to, so like, Inigo and Andre go to find him, right? And they like can't find the knob to push on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad like helps guide the sword.
Well,
like,
he
the
asks
ghost.
For his dad's help to guide the
sword. Yeah, right? It's like supernatural. Mm-hmm. Do you think at the last fight, was that also the dad like when he was hurt?
Oh, like healing
fighting
him?
For him?
Or no,
like
controlling,
like, possessing the sword?
No, he trained for years to be a better swordsman. His dad wasn't a swordsman. He made swords.
So he just helped him find the tree knob.
Yeah. I don't think it needs to be discussed that much. He just, yeah, it helps him find it. I heard that that scene was very hard to film because the airplanes going to Heathrow Airport kept going. It's very loud.
Does that mean this was filmed like outside? I thought this was all just filmed on the
stage?
Soundstage somewhere.
No, that's a real historic castle.
Really?
Like the tapestries on their wall are actually like thousands of years old or whatever.
Huh. That's I just thought all of this was like perfectly like crafted sets.
Maybe that's why he thought it was so perfect. A lot of it was real.
Wow.
Castles.
So they end up not saving him. He's actually dead, which I like. I like, and the son is like, what do you mean Wesley's dead? He's the main character.
Oh, the boy?
Yeah.
In real life.
Which I like. And then they go take him to Billy Crystal to have a miracle.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard like all the trivia I was reading about this movie, most of it is that nobody on set could keep it together when Billy Crystal was acting. And he's in it for such a small part, but like people had to leave the room. The guy who plays Wesley, they had to put like a puppet there because he couldn't stop laughing.
He's incredible in this. He's in it for like 2 or 3 minutes.
Steals the show.
Again, one of the most iconic characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, of course, we have to thank him for getting our inspiration for our
for your wedding
popcorn.
Vows.
Well, I mean, not this character. Another.
Oh, okay, well, Billy Crystal in general. We have many things to
thank Billy Crystal
for
that, and also for the chocolate inspiration.
Yes. So the chocolate goes on the pill, as does our popcorn.
As it does. And then we get to really the end set. This movie's also paced really well.
It's quick.
It feels like almost a bunch of like mini movies. Like, okay, now we're going to do this part, and now we're going to go save the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I really like how briskly it moves.
How do you feel? Like, there's that scene where Buttercup is being announced as the queen, and that old hag woman is shouting, boo!
I honestly forgot about that scene, so I'm guessing I don't really care about it.
Really? I thought that was a very funny scene. That's just a nightmare of hers.
It was okay.
Boo! Oh, wow. All right.
It's so many. Well, I guess it's a victim of its own movie. There's so many memorable scenes. It's hard for all of them to stick out.
It's true.
Did you end up finding out what a Holocaust cloak is?
I did. I looked it up. It's a cloak that's mostly not flammable. Flammable? Don't they mean the same thing?
You mean inflammable.
Inflammable, whatever. But if you run a razor on it, like the fibers stick up, then you can set those on fire for like a minute. But the cloak itself won't burn. I don't know if that's fake or if that's from the book. I read it on something online, so.
It's pretty badass, though.
It is awesome. He's the perfect character for it.
He looks almost, he's tall, but he almost looked taller than you. Like was he standing on the wheelbarrow?
He was in the wheelbarrow.
Oh, yes.
That made him extra scary.
That was the extra scary.
That was perfect. He didn't need to fight anyone. It's just fear.
Oh, we glossed over this. So he, Andre the Giant goes in the giant cloak and pretends to be the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Such cool, like it's mentioned in one or two lines, but the lore of Dread Pirate Robert, where it's like a different person, but they just all assume this role of the Dread Pirate Roberts.
They pass on the role.
That's so cool.
It is very cool. Like you're in on the who the pirate is. It's cool.
But I think Andre the Giant is easily the scariest Dread Pirate Roberts that there ever has been.
He looks like larger than life. It's terrifying.
Very clever plan they have to set the cloak on fire and scare all the guards.
Mm-hmm. Except for one who drops the portcullis, which I didn't know what that was.
Even it's after like, watching this movie 100 times?
I never thought about it. It's that gate. Is that always what it is? Just a gate in a castle that drops down?
Yeah.
Portcullis. The more you know.
And then we get the real good stuff.
Mowage.
Yeah. So iconic. I thought that was from The Office. Does The Office make fun of that?
I'm sure they do. It's so iconic. My friend and I in college made a pact that we would say that at each other's wedding.
And it didn't indeed happen.
Yeah.
This October.
Thankfully not in front of everybody, though.
What I was actually excited about is the revenge fight of Ignio Montoya and... Does a six-fingered man, he must have a name.
He's got a name. I don't know what it is.
He's a six-fingered man, though.
Count Reuben or something like that.
Count Reuben. Reuben sandwich.
You need an extra finger to hold that sandwich.
It's real thick.
A mutton, lettuce, and tomato.
Hey, that was another... Yeah, why'd you remind me of that? That's another out-of-character joke.
That was a great out-of-character joke.
Billy Crystal
joke.
Says that, though, right?
Yes, he says.
Yeah, that's why it's okay when he says it.
Nothing is as good as true love, except a mutton, lettuce, and tomato, where the mutton's nice and lean.
Nice and lean. I couldn't imagine filming on set
hilarious.
With him saying stuff like that.
That was all ad-libbed.
Surprised by how many times he says, my name is...
Inigo Montoya.
Inigo Montoya. Really says reprises it quite a number of times.
He's been 20 years waiting to say it to this guy, so of course he's going to make sure he knows.
I'm a little upset. I should have said this before. Wesley is as good a fighter as he is, and he spent like his whole life training. Why is Wesley so good?
He learned from many of the best on that ship. Who did Inigo train with?
Some guy.
We don't know. Yeah, maybe just some guy.
Aside the point, his whole fight, getting the revenge finally, is real cool. Him doing like the scars on the guy's
matching
face.
Matching the scars that he got from him.
That was cool.
Perfect. Although in real life, he's only 4 years older than him. Although, you know, in the movie, he's said when he was like
yeah.
11, a little kid, but they're really close in age in real life.
Yeah. I like the secondary protagonist nature that Ignio has. Like he's doing his own quest and like Wesley's trying to get it with Buttercup. It makes a cool like dynamic.
It feels real. Like why else would they be helping each other?
Yeah. I guess Andre the Giant, he does not have a real...
He's a simple man.
He's just there to help. He's a nice guy.
He's just hanging out.
And then the other kind of climax is Wesley versus...
Humperdinck.
I can't get this name right. Humperdinck.
Prince Pumpernickel.
And he just like bluffs his way out of fighting him.
To the pain.
I'll cut off your nose,
your arms, your legs, but not your ears. So you can hear people scoff and scream at how ugly you are.
And I can see like... Moments like this is why you like this movie so much. Because they don't always like resort to fighting. Like there's always like resolutions to these conflicts.
You know how I like movies.
Like you get your cool action with the, you know, Ignio, but then you also get talking your way out of it with Wesley.
The thing about this movie, I think when it came out, it was very much marketed as a date night movie because the girls would like the romance and the guys would like the action. But it works all around.
It really does. Speaking of romance, we have a beautiful ending of them flying out of the window, being caught by
Fezzik
and riding off on these beautiful white horses.
Into the sunset and having one of the top
Top five kisses better, of all time.
Better, he said there have been noted five best kisses of all time, and that one beat them all. That's how I feel every time we kiss.
Okay, when we get our wedding video, let's take that audio and overlay it we're kissing.
Aww.
And then when our officiant is talking, we'll overlay the
marriage
so it brings us together and it all come together.
Wait for the Princess Bride cut of our wedding video.
It's coming.
Can't wait.
So that brings us to the end of the Princess Bride.
We get a goodbye from Grandpa, and the grandson and grandpa relationship has been strengthened, don't you think?
Very cute callback to As You Wish.
As You Wish.
I hope the kid remembered that.
What do you mean?
Did the kid remember As You Wish?
From the book?
I Love You? I feel like he had an absent stare. I feel like he didn't have an I Love You look.
He's sick. He's got a fever.
Okay. Is this movie take place in Christmas, by the way?
It does. You saw a little like creepy Santa drawing on the wall, and yeah, it's snowing outside. No one mentions it as a Christmas movie.
The Die Hard is a Christmas movie. That means Princess Bride is also a Christmas movie because it takes place.
Do you think any cool guy would say Princess Bride's his favorite Christmas movie?
What do you mean, cool guy?
I mean, every cool guy says Die Hard's favorite Christmas movie.
They're not cool.
Movie.
They're just like,
I'm
contrarian.
Saying it sarcastically. Of course not.
I hate him.
This is an anti-Die Hard. Die Hard's a great movie, but
not a Christmas movie.
It's not uniquely the best Christmas movie.
No, that is the most... I hate it. So boring. That's another topic, but...
You hate Die Hard?
No, I hate that people call it a Christmas movie.
Oh,
because it takes place during Christmas.
Sure, technically. I don't say Princess Bride is my favorite Christmas movie.
I should start saying that just so the Die Hard people can see how stupid they sound when they say that. It's a Christmas movie. But thank you for really sitting me down, finally watching it, inspired for Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It has a very
it
nice
only
love
makes
story.
Sense for Valentine's Day, our first married year, we watched this movie.
Yeah, and I love it. And I think I would want to watch it
again
every year or so. I dig it.
That's, ladies and gentlemen, that's saying a lot. Jared does not rewatch movies.
I don't.
Ever.
I don't. One and done, is what I say.
I'm so glad this is a movie you can enjoy multiple times.
And I look forward to watching it with you again.
Oh, me too.
You guys can't see, but we're having one of the top five kisses of all time in recorded history right now. All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening and have fun storming the podcast.
Ha ha ha. Anybody want a peanut?
Thanks for listening to Popping Into Movies.
To view recipes and pictures of all the popcorns we've made, you can find us on Instagram at Popping Into Movies.
If you want to send us feedback on what you thought about this episode or have a suggestion for a future episode, you can reach us directly at poppingintomovies@gmail.com or on Twitter at Popping Movies.
You can also leave us a message on Anchor through the link in the episode description. It might just show up in a future episode.
Thanks again for listening.
And we'll
see
you
next
time.